LGBT activists inside Russia, they're actually telling me that it was better during Soviet times than it was under Vladimir Putin. In Georgia, I was just walking on the streets. My colleagues, also some international people, were telling me, this guy, I think he's trying to film us, and I think I've seen him already a few times. And then you need to start thinking that this is not just some homophobic idiots, and the people who want to fight liberal democracy also want to create an atmosphere of fear against the LGBT community.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Our news wrap crew will return after the holidays to update the latest news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world. On this week's special program... Rémy Bony is a Belgian political scientist and LGBTQ activist who specializes in the queer movement's impact on international relations. From his base in Brussels, Bony's current research focuses on the interactions between Vladimir Putin's Russian Federation, the European Union, and the former Soviet republics. This Way Out's Sydney correspondent William Broom spoke with Bony via Skype.
How did you get involved in activism, and why is it so important to you?
I was always a bit like the child who was always caring about the world, about global warming and all these kind of things. So when I was starting university 5 or 6 years ago, I went on an exchange to Poland, and that was in the middle of the governmental crisis there on the reforms of the judiciary, where the current conservative government wanted to, yeah, basically do a crackdown on checks and balances and so on. And then hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people went to the streets of the capital city of Warsaw. And that's where I really got engaged also in activism, not only in my own country, in Belgium, but also in Poland and abroad.
Your expertise is Russia, the former Soviet republics, and Eastern Europe, and also their relationship with the European Union. Why that area in particular?
Well, it's not that I particularly love the area or something, but it's an area that has a lot of challenges and a lot of opportunities at the same time. After the fall of the Soviet Union, there was a huge vacuum there to establish economic development, to establish human rights and so on. And in some countries in the former Eastern Bloc, you see that they actually were very effective and successful in establishing human rights. I'm thinking, for instance, on the Czech Republic, where at the moment parliament, the debate is happening about implementing same-sex marriage and so on. And you saw a lot of economic development also in the area, but you saw also a lot of backlashes at the same time in the area. Have you looked to what is happening in Russia concerning LGBT rights? Well, I mean, I don't have to go into detail on it, but everybody knows that there was a huge crackdown on LGBT rights. And if I'm speaking with LGBT activists inside Russia, they're actually telling me that it was better during Soviet times than it was under Vladimir Putin at the moment.
What do you think has changed?
There is a bigger focus on LGBT rights, of course, at the moment in the world. Since the implementation, since 2001, of same-sex marriage in the Netherlands, LGBT rights became, let's say, a hot topic in politics all around the world. And especially in Western Europe, we have been successful in implementing a lot of LGBT rights in the last 2 decades. And LGBT rights also somehow became the most successful thing that happened in liberal democracy from the last 2 decades. And the people who want to fight liberal democracy, of course, also are indirectly starting to fight LGBT rights at the moment then, because the most successful thing that liberal democracy established in the last 2 decades, well, that's LGBT rights. So it's not that weird that, for instance, Russia focuses that much on LGBT rights. They want to fight not just the LGBT community, but liberal democracy and human rights in general.
Is it also partly an appeal for nationalism?
Yes, it's about nationalism. It's about conservatism, it's about orthodoxy. What we had in Russia, and that's one of the easiest things to basically explain what is happening at the moment there. During the Soviet times, you had two enemies. That was an internal enemy and an external enemy. The external enemy was the West, United States, liberal democracy, and so on. But their internal enemy during Soviet times, that was religion.
Mm.
And after the fall of the Soviet Union, religion, the Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, basically took over power in Russia. So they had to find a new internal enemy to consolidate their dictatorship. If they wanted to have a dictatorship, they have to want to retain the power of the over the Russian people, they had to find a new internal enemy. And already in the 90s, we saw actually that internal enemy was non-traditionalism, and that non-traditionalism evolved over the years to the LGBT community. And of course, their external enemy stayed the same. The tensions between the United States, the European Union, and Russia only rose since the Cold War. This is a bit like how you can easiest explain what is happening at the moment in Russia. It's all about geopolitics. It's about political strategy. It's to consolidate their own dictatorship.
And you've mentioned previously that all the rights we've achieved can be taken back, can't they?
Yes, yes. When Yeltsin was in power in the 90s in Russia, there were some good signs for the LGBT community. There were Russia joined the Council of Europe, signed the European Convention on Human Rights, and so on. The LGBT community in Moscow and St. Petersburg organized themselves quite good. Mm-hmm. And then, and since 2013, Vladimir Putin introduced his anti-propaganda law in Russia. It's just impossible to just go on the streets and wave a rainbow flag or walk on the streets hand in hand with your boyfriend or girlfriend. And as an LGBT person, that's just impossible in Russia at the moment. And it's not just impossible because it's too dangerous, because you can't get beaten up. Well, you will get beaten up, but you will also not get any security provided by the government. The moment you get beaten up in Russia, you go tell the police that you got beaten up because you were gay, well, then the police is going to laugh at you, and most probably you will get beaten up again by the police officers themselves.
What is the general feeling in Russia that you're getting from members of the LGBTI community there?
Yeah, well, it's a bit mixed, actually. Putin is somehow able to sell his homophobia, his state homophobia, also to the LGBT community. So if I'm speaking to certain members of the LGBT community, some of them believe that indeed there is a certain Western conspiracy on LGBT rights against Russia to undermine the traditional values of Russia. That's what even some people of the LGBT community believe inside Russia. That has everything to do with internalized homophobia, of course, of these people. But in general, if I'm speaking to activists, to LGBT activists, they're just very afraid. Of course, we had Yelena Grigorieva, a Russian human rights activist who was openly lesbian and so on, who was murdered. And it was obviously a homophobic murder. Her pictures were on websites, on homophobic websites to hunt her down and so on. Even though these websites declared afterwards that they did it. And then if you ask the authorities in Russia, just said like, yeah, it was a local accident. She had some problems with her neighbors. And yeah, we're going to solve it that way. That was not the case. She was murdered just because of her sexuality. And if you ask me, there is a huge chance that this was actually orchestrated by the people in the Kremlin at the moment. They want to create an atmosphere of fear against the LGBT community. And what I see is that certain members of the certain high level members of the LGBT community itself at the moment are organizing themselves to flee out of the country. So they are doing a total crackdown on LGBT activism already since over a decade now.
You've also helped expose the purges of LGBTI people in Chechnya. How did that come about?
Indeed, what happened in Chechnya is not just another example of what is happening in Russia. Chechnya, the Chechen Republic, is an autonomous part of Russia. And yeah, at some point, I think it was somewhere in December last year, independently from each other, two guys who fled to the European Union from Chechnya told me that, yeah, you know, it's totally not over what is happening in Chechnya at the moment. We thought that since 2017 that Russia actually asked the Chechen authorities to stop persecuting, to stop torturing, and to stop murdering LGBT persons in Chechnya. But these people told me, yeah, I was detained only 5 months ago.
So it's still happening.
It's still happening. For instance, another story I was in contact with a few months ago, with a guy living just outside Chechnya, on the border of Chechnya, and he was detained back in 2017. They made a video where he had to declare that he was a homosexual and that he would never come back to the Chechen Republic. Then they released him. Well, he didn't come back to the Chechen Republic, but he went to the province next to Chechnya, and now he's living there. And yeah, they burned his house down for 3 times in the last year. And they put the video on social media only 5 months ago. So he is hunted down not just by the authorities, but also by his neighbors.
I was in New York in June, as you were, and you were there on stage during the World Pride celebrations and Stonewall 50th commemorations. And you spoke about your experiences earlier this year in Georgia. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Georgia is if you take a flight from Georgia to Chechnya, it's only a half an hour or something. It's 100 kilometers away from it. And the whole Caucasus region has this very aggressive, very homophobic, very conservative stances on LGBT rights. If we look to opinion polls in the region, Georgia is a bit better. But if we look to neighboring countries like Azerbaijan, for instance, only 8% of the society thinks that LGBT people should have their place in society. So if you want to organize your LGBT movement in these countries, you will have a lot of struggles. For instance, in Georgia, where some young people tried to hold the very first Pride March ever in the region, there was a huge, huge crackdown organized by not just the government, but also by religious authorities, who are also supported by Russia, to be honest. In Georgia, I was just walking on the streets. And at some point, me and my colleagues, also some international people, were telling me, this guy, I think he's trying to film us, and I think I've seen him already a few times in the last few days. And then you need to start thinking that this is not just some homophobic idiots who think that they are strong by beating up gay people. No, that's not what it is. It's a well-organized, very effective organization who is all behind it. And then indeed, the main oligarch, who was basically a religious homophobic leader in Georgia, his name is Vazadze. Yeah, he has a lot of contacts with the Kremlin, but also with American alt-right organizations and so on. And you see that these kind of things, that there's a lot of money going on in these homophobic organizations. That's all internationally orchestrated.
We're devoting the entire program this week to Remy Boni. We'll get back to William Broom's interview with the European LGBTQ political scientist and activist in a moment.
The next thing you'll hear.
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 I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens.
Wouldn't you know in your gut that such a president had abused his office?
On the next This Way Out, the next thing you'll hear will be Trump on the small hand, Pete on the other.
Today, I'm launching an exploratory committee to run for president of the United States.
Let me be clear. The state of our union is strong.
How strong is the state of This Way Out? For the next thing you'll hear about that, go to thiswayout.org.
That'll be the next thing you hear.
And now, back to William Broom and Remy Boni.
You've been doing a lot to expose homophobia and transphobia in the former Soviet state and in Russia and elsewhere. Do you ever feel you're putting your own security and safety at risk?
Well, I'm sure, and I've been told by Western intelligence organizations, and I'm getting monitored by the Russians, for instance. The first sign I ever got about being monitored myself is when I did some social media activism with a Belarusian activist back 2 years ago in front of the European Parliament. And we just made a picture of us together, put it on my social media. The moment that guy got back to Belarus, he was immediately detained at the airport by the intelligence services there. So that was already the first time that my social media, because it was only in my social media, nowhere in press, nowhere on his social media, only in my social media, it was already the first time that intelligence services from the post-Soviet republics were following me. Yeah, at the same time, I'm in a more comfortable position. That's also one of the biggest reasons why I'm doing this work. As a Belgian guy, they will most probably monitor me. They will try to hack my stuff and so on. But they will never try to poison me like they would do by their own citizens.
Now to your current project, which involves Russia, Hungary, and the European Union.
Yes, so the last, let's say, year, I've been living in Budapest to do off-the-record meetings and research with officials inside Budapest and diplomats from all over the region there to find out what is actually happening with these international homophobic networks in the region, because I got signs that Hungary, and especially Hungary, was very much involved in these networks. What we saw, for instance, in the last 5-6 years is that, for instance, the American-based homophobic network called the World Congress of Families was starting to organize themselves very much in the region, and that the main person from the WHO region who was involved in this network, her name is Katalin Novak. She's the vice president of Fidesz, the ruling party of Hungary. Hungary is already since 2003 member of the European Union, and one of the main politicians of the country is involved in one of the most homophobic networks in the whole world. And the World Congress of Families, it's officially American-based. But if you look to who the people are actually who are involved in that, then we're speaking about the Ugandans who wanted to implement death penalty for homosexuals. Mm. We're speaking about the same people from Russia who implemented this anti-propaganda law. We're speaking about the president of Moldova, who has a huge record of human rights violations. So this is the kind of people who are involved in this American network called the World Congress of Families. And at the same time, one of the major member states of the European Union, Hungary, which is already accused of a lot of conservative things, but still, they are not accused of being that aggressive towards the LGBT community. But at the same time, one of their main politicians is involved in one of these networks. And then I was digging deeper and deeper in it, and I saw that the link was not specifically an American conservative / Hungarian link. The link was Russia-Hungary.
Mm.
Because what we found at some point is that there were in the last years a lot of contacts between Katalin Novak and a guy who at that point nobody knew who he was. It took me a lot of time actually to find out who he was. His name was Igor Bilobordov. And Igor Bilobordov, we found out that he was living in some area of Moldova where the Moldovan authorities don't have any authority, but the Russians have, because they basically took over the power just like they did in Ukraine and Georgia in the last 10 years as well. And he's living there. And he's at the same time head of a demographic unit of the Russian Institute for Strategic Studies. The main institute behind the involvement of the Russians in the presidential elections of in the United States. So if that guy is meeting on almost a monthly basis with the Hungarian State Secretary for Family Affairs and the vice president of the ruling party there, that is not just about believing in homophobia or being conservative. This is about an intelligence operation.
So it's coming from the highest levels?
It's coming from the highest levels. I've been monitoring his social media, and I've been looked to who he is following on social media or who he's befriended with on social media. That's the major spy community of Russia. One of them is Leonid Reshetnikov. He is born in Potsdam and Germany. He was already since the 80s a very good friend of Vladimir Putin. And he's really very well befriended with Igor Bilobordov. And not just him, but his daughter, for instance, as well. So you see that the Wu family is already very close to that guy. Also, another guy, for instance, Timur Aliyev, the personal assistant of Ramzan Kadyrov, the leader of Chechnya, the guy who was accused of the most structural persecution of homosexuals since the Second World War. So, yeah, you see that this guy is very, very close to the people in power. You see that there's a lot more even going on, most probably than what I already discovered. But yeah, this is happening all under our eyes in the European Union, and nobody is really reacting to it. Because yeah, if I was able to find it out, also Western intelligence services were able to find this, and they obviously didn't do anything about it.
Why do you think the Western intelligence services are not doing anything about it?
The reasons for that are very complex, of course. At the moment, there is a lot going on about intelligence operations of the Russians inside the European Union. And I just think that their focus is not on that because they have too much other focus to focus on other things. And maybe that's a mistake that they are making. What they all focus on is on cyber interference of the Russians. It's on hacking over election computers. It's on interfering through spreading fake news and so on. But that's not the only thing that the Russians are doing. And by not focusing on the things that I discovered, the Russians might actually be more effective than they are on these other topics like spreading fake news. Because what we see is that indeed the Russians made very narrow intelligence contacts between high-level Hungarian government officials. And it's not limiting itself, honestly, to Hungary.
What do you plan to do with the information you've got?
Well, one of the things I'm doing is basically traveling all around the world at the moment to tell to as many people as possible, to many interest groups as possible, about this information. This is all about lobbying at the moment. We need to have the world focusing, the intelligence community also focusing on these kind of things, because it's not just about fake news and all these kind of things. There are a lot of things going on also that we as the public but also the intelligence community still doesn't know about. And one of those things is the thing that I discovered, that the Russians are also interfering in our liberal democracies through all these anti-LGBT networks.
What can the wider world, not just the LGBTI community, but the wider world do to help the situation?
First thing that everybody needs to do is share the information as much as possible, because we need to be aware of what is happening. And if we're not aware about what is happening, we can also not fight back to our main enemies. We don't, in a lot of cases, LGBT organizations in those countries actually don't know who their enemies are. So how can the wider public actually know that then? At the moment, I'm also just doing a fundraising to continue this research, because as I told you, there is a lot more going on. I discovered what is going on in Hungary, but we hear similar signs coming from Poland, Italy, the United States, and so on. One of the keynote speakers of the World Congress of Families was a deputy prime minister of Italy this year. So there is most probably also a lot going on in Italy with the Russians at the moment. Yeah, we need to understand that this is not just about LGBT rights also. It's about the fight against liberal democracy. It goes, unfortunately, beyond LGBT rights.
Do you see any signs of optimism or hope?
Yes, there are some signs. I mean, in general, what the Russians are doing, and that's quite smart of them, they are not focusing on public opinion. Because they know, for instance, Central and Eastern Europe, especially the member states of the European Union, and in the last years, the population became more progressive towards LGBT rights. That's also why they mainly focus on government officials. They're not using fake news and so on LGBT rights in countries like Hungary and Czech Republic or Poland. They're basically focusing on the government officials. And what we see, for instance, in the Czech Republic is that they are trying to implement same-sex marriage at the moment there, and that the government, the prime minister, actually declared that he and his ruling party are going to support it. So in the coming 2 years, we will probably have the very first country in the Eastern Bloc implementing same-sex marriage. And I hope that could be the first and many will follow. But we see that people really are getting more progressive also in the region, even when the politicians are becoming more homophobic, people are standing up against it. In Poland, we had, I think, the biggest coming out ever in world history after the main political leader of Poland said again for like the 1,000th time in the last year of something very homophobic. And then like thousands and thousands of young LGBT people in Poland started to come out on social media. And yeah, it was literally going viral at that moment. People are really also starting to stand up also in the region. And yeah, that's some sign of optimism, I guess.
And also, I think you mentioned on your website that LGBTI activists in Kazakhstan are hoping to hold their first rally soon.
Yeah, well, they're hoping to do that, and it's very optimistic of them, but also for the region, if that would be possible. Kazakhstan, knowing, I don't believe honestly that they will give the permits to the organizers, but at least what we see is that the LGBT community is starting to organize themselves there. 5 years ago, there was totally no LGBT organization at all in the country. And now we see that the LGBT community, even if they don't get the permits and even if they don't get all what they need, they start to organize themselves. And that's also a reason for hope, I guess, because then the better they organize themselves, the better that they can fight against the people who fight against them.
And finally, how can we find out more about the great work you're doing?
Well, you can check out my social media or my website, remyboni.com, and subscribe to my newsletter, for instance. And every single month, I send out the main things that are happening around the region on LGBT issues. And yeah, that's the best way to keep in touch with me.
Remy Boni in Brussels, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
This is William Broom in Sydney, Australia, for This Way Out.
Don't miss Remy Boni's December newsletter. In it, he reports extensively on a meeting at the U.S. Senate hosted by the Hungarian embassy that involved international anti-abortion organizations, officials connected to the same pro-Putin Russian think tank that spearheaded the interference into the 2016 U.S. presidential election, and the same anti-LGBTQ religious right hate group leader who recently met with two sitting U.S. Supreme Court justices. You'll find that article at remyboni.com. And finally, from all of us to all of you,
happy whatever you're having. Hope that the season is bright. I'll wish that for you, all your best dreams come true, if they're politically correct and not too far right. Have a multicultural, gender-neutral, non-sectarian, unambiguous, ovo-lacto, vegetarian, nature-loving, sweet agrarian, non-polluting, mass-appealing, anti-looting, non-fur-wearing, all-inclusive celebration.
Unless, of course, you don't want to, because we don't want this to be a high-pressure situation. This is your holiday.
Happy whatever to you.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. This week, William Broom interviewed researcher-activist Remy Boni. Thanks to Barry McKay and J. Stephen Hunt. The Therapy Sisters performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Paul Bannon, Richard Merck, and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. You can be the next thing we hear by visiting thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. We wish you the happiest of holidays, and thank you for listening at thiswayout.org and wherever you get your podcasts, and on a growing number of local community radio stations and other outlets in North America, Europe, South Africa, and Oceania, including this one. Now, y'all, stay tuned.